I decided to get some exercise, and since it's a nice day, I wanted to go for a bike ride. So I rented some sort of bike at the lake, which happened to get me thinking about ancient chariots, and how during the Holocene, there was only one specific tribe of people that first used chariots and disseminated the technology to other parts of the world, as it was only this one tribe of people that domesticated the horse and other animals used in agriculture around the area known as Anatolia, where the Caucasus Mountains are located. Horses are not native to Africa. They were introduced to the continent by these Caucasians, a term derived from people coming from the Caucasus Mountains and that history remembers as the Hyksos, a term used by the Egyptian historian Manetho, which means foreign rulers, and that the Jewish historian Josephus translated to mean shepherd kings, who he identified with the Hebrews in the Bible. Most modern historians have identified most of the Hyksos king names as Semitic. This term, Semitic, comes from one of Noah's sons called Shem or Sem. Noah was the biblical figure that allegedly saved pairs of many animals on an ark, which after a great deluge settled on Mount Ararat, which is in the Caucasus Mountains. Regardless of what one thinks about the validity of the Bible, this flood myth seems to fit in perfectly in an anthropological context, because it not only is the right geographical location from which domesticated animals and agricultural civilization spread from after the Ice Age, it also makes sense genetically, as DNA testing has shown that animals, such as horses, were domesticated far earlier than previously thought and were likely retained from the Pleistocene, or Ice Age, rather than first domesticated during the Holocene, or our current age. The rise of the Hyksos, god kings, in Egypt was made possible by an influx of immigrants from Palestine into Egypt beginning around the 18th century BC. The immigrants brought with them new technologies, including the horse and chariot, but also the compound bow and improved metal weapons, as they also introduced bronze to North Africa, which is far superior to copper. With the rise of DNA studies, anthropologists can now clearly determine the ethnicity of various ancient populations, which clarifies ancient biblical stories and mythology, which, while sometimes embellished, contain a surprising amount of accuracy when properly interpreted, and should not be dismissed as simple fantasy. The Philistines were an ancient people who lived on the south coast of Canaan from the 12th century BC until 604 BC, when they were exiled to Mesopotamia by King Nebuchadnezzar II. They are known for their biblical conflict with the Israelites, which probably the most famous Philistine being Goliath, who is described as being a giant. While most people have heard of them through the Bible, they're first attested to in reliefs at the temple of Ramses III, in which they are called Palisset.
The opportunity to discover the Philistine cemetery was very exciting. Never before had we found Philistines in a Philistine city. We guessed that they might be Philistines out there, but no one had found them in the core. Where did they come from?
What we're seeing in this cemetery is that period after David, Solomon, and the breakup of the kingdom into the north, called Israel, and the south, Judah. So that's the main period that we have right now. But when we get even deeper, we don't know. We might even go back to the first Philistines that are here.
There are several theories about the origins of the Philistines, the most popular being that they came from Crete, the island which was home to one of Europe's first civilizations called the Minoans. A recent study published in the journal Science Advances suggested the Philistines indeed migrated to the Middle East from southern Europe. In 2016, a large Philistine cemetery was discovered near Ashkelon, containing more than 150 dead buried in oval-shaped graves. A 2019 genetic study found that their DNA, at the time, was distinctly European, a genetic signal that is no longer detectable in the later Iron Age population. The modern name Palestine is derived from the biblical term Philistine, and the demographic population of the area during the time referred to in the Bible were a racially European or Mediterranean people. The Hebrew Bible says the Philistines are descendants of Mizraim, the biblical progenitor of the Egyptians. Mizraim is the Hebrew and Aramaic name for the land of Egypt, meaning a mound or fortress, and is ultimately the name of a people descended from Ham, who was another son of Noah and the father of Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Ham's descendants are interpreted by Josephus and others as having populated Africa and adjoining parts of Asia, and in ancient times were all historically Caucasian. While some modern politically motivated interpretations of the Bible promote the idea that Noah had three sons that represented three different races, reflecting the demographics that populate the various parts of the world in modern times, this was not the case, as all early civilizations shared the same ruling nobility, which were ethnically distinct from the populations that they governed. Probably the clearest example of this is in India, which, like Egypt, did not have any horses in the fossil record until the arrival of the Aryans from Anatolia, which also introduced the chariot, the swastika, Sanskrit, which is an Indo-European or Aryan language, and an ethnic caste system to the Indian subcontinent thousands of years ago. While the term Aryan is confined to describing a linguistic group in modern times, it is also etched into stone millennia ago in places like Iran by Darius the Great, who referred to his race and lineage as Aryan, which is why I use the term, which is also used to describe Buddha, who was a blue-eyed Aryan according to ancient writings, and why he is depicted with blue eyes even today in places like Thailand, which managed to escape colonialism and the politically correct whitewashing of history that comes with it. While certain words, such as Aryan, have been changed into words like Indo-European, which means the same thing, certain historically Aryan symbols, such as the swastika, which goes back many thousands of years, are being scrubbed from academia altogether. This brings up the question, why? Whatever the reason, what cannot be denied is the reality of 4,000-year-old blonde and red-headed mummies discovered in places like China, which predate the arrival of East Asians to the area by several millennia. Aryan mummies that share genetic affinities to the many blonde and red-headed mummies of pharaohs in Egypt, spanning all dynasties, reflected in the blue-eyed Egyptian statues of their nobility and pharaohs. Which brings us back to the Philistines, or as the ancient Egyptians called them, Peleset, who Ramesses the Great described as being part of the Sea People, a confederation of nine tribes, including the Peleset, which many scholars trace to parts of the Mediterranean and Anatolia. That said, DNA findings published in the journal Nature Communications found that thousands of years ago, in what is now northern Israel, waves of migrating people from the north and east, present-day Iran and Turkey, arrived in the region, not only bringing new cultural practices, they also introduced new genes, such as blue eyes. Archaeologists analyzing DNA from 600 skeletons preserved in an Israeli cave, which experienced a significant cultural shift around 4,500 BC, or 6,500 years ago, These waves of blue-eyed immigrants from the Caucasus Mountains of Anatolia, where Noah was said to have settled, and from where we get the term Caucasian from, as well as from Iran, a word that comes from Aryan, was brought up in an interview of Lauren Moray by Professor Hamamoto, which was titled Ancient Bloodlines, Contemporary Power, which I'd like to play some brief excerpts from now.
Because now I'm investigating who's at the very top, who really rules the world, and I discovered it's a very, very interesting history of ancient Iranian tribes, the original Zoroastrians, and the first world Persian Empire that has controlled the world for the last 5,000 years.
So when she says ancient Iranian tribes, she means Aryans. Persian is an ethnic group that makes up about 60% of the modern nation of Iran. And the first Persian Empire dates to about 500 BC, founded by Cyrus the Great. And the nobility would have been comprised of people with Aryan ancestry. But actual Aryans existed 5,000 years ago, which is illustrated in this linguistics graph. We can see that Aryans are also referred to as Proto-Indo-Europeans, as opposed to modern Persian or Farsi, which is here, or Hindi, a language spoken in modern India, which is here, or English, the language I'm speaking now, which is here. They're all in the Aryan language family, but actual Aryans were 5,000 years ago and extinct in its original form. The closest or first branch would probably be the Hittites, which is here, and the next closest would probably be the Tocharians, which is here. So, with that understanding, let us continue.
Confucius said, "Signs and symbols rule the world, not words and laws." And when I let go of that and I began trusting myself and my intuition and my experience and my insights, it changed everything. And I began looking at signs and symbols, and that's what opened all the doors. It's all right in front of us. It's there for everyone to see, but they don't know how to integrate, to relate, to put together the information to tell the real story. Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you that this grand synthesis that you've managed to pull together, it's not being taught in the contemporary university.
No.
This, what we are about to present to you, ladies and gentlemen, is a paradigm buster. And the academic establishment are going to have to come in this direction.
An example of these ancient signs and symbols that are no longer taught in academia, especially since World War II, is the swastika, which is a symbol disseminated during the Holocene by Aryans, who also spread agricultural civilization, domesticated animals, Indo-European languages, which we already looked at, and genetic signatures such as blue eyes, as is evident in the many statues of pharaohs and other nobility from the ancient world. Let's continue.
The interests behind the Jesuits, the entities that created the Jesuits during the Renaissance in Italy, it was none other than Alessandro Farnese, a Persian from ancient Persia. His family came through Cappadocia in eastern Turkey, eventually to Italy, and they founded the first 10 Etruscan cities in Italy. And when those were razed, they destroyed them and they created the Roman Empire. The Romans, the Etruscans, the Holy Roman Empire, they're all Iranians, they're all Persians, it's all Persian blood. Italians are Iranians. Their practices, their beliefs, their food, their clothing attire. The Pope, for instance, wears a papal tiara dome, the papal dome, which is called the papal tiara. Well, that's what men in charge of tribes in Central Asia wear. They wear those very large domed hats. And some of the women do also, if they're a leader of the community. And then the red slippers that the Pope wears, those are Central Asian slippers. You see them in India a lot and in Asia. So there are many, many cultural ties and legends and religious practices that indicate over and over and over again that the Italians are really Iranians. Mm-hmm. And Romania was named for the Roman soldiers, the Iranian equestrian nomadic fighters, warriors, were brought to Romania, to Eastern Europe, and they were the soldiers, the Roman soldiers for the Roman Empire. So you see this fingerprint of Iranian DNA everywhere. And 14,000 years ago, DNA studies of a particular Iranian tribe indicate there was a mutation in the DNA.
While the conventional modern understanding of the origin of blue eyes is that it was a mutation that happened around Anatolia and spread from there during the Holocene, but based on genetic studies that I was involved in school, that has not made its way into the media yet, I would argue that it was not a mutation, but belonged to a population descended from Cro-Magnon, which was rather tall and had light hair, similar to the 6 foot, 6 inch Aryan mummies discovered in China, which interbred with the local populations, which were short, usually just under 5 feet tall, with dark hair and dark eye color, which gave their offspring a wide range of height, hair color, and eye color.
The most extreme expression is red hair and blue eyes, light blue eyes. And then more moderate expressions are blonde hair, green eyes, hazel eyes, gray eyes. You see a lot of Afghanis with gray eyes. And so now you can walk around the Davis campus or get on a train or walk by some friends sitting on the steps of a building, and you can start talking to them and you can tell they have Iranian blood. But it has to be from both parents. It's a recessive gene. So that really got me started. Mm-hmm. And
now it's my understanding that Aryan came from Iranian. That's the synonym. So
that's right.
It has migrated down into our most recent history, the history of World War II,
yes.
Global Depression.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing from you is that this extensive history that goes back millennia, right?
Yeah, thousands of years.
Thousands of years. Yes. We're witnessing I don't know if it's the end game or not, but we're witnessing the contemporary expression of this bloodline in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't know where you're going with this, but
we're talking about a global network with one template carrying all of this out. Mm-hmm. And it's from, originates with those ancient Iranian bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And they have 10 bloodline families that sit on a council, and they're the ones who advise the Jesuits. The Jesuits work for the Iranian bloodlines, and the Jesuits were created by Alessandro Farnese, who became Pope Paul III in the Renaissance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a game. This is not an academic exercise, neither for Lorraine or for myself.
No.
I am in their house. I am working in the belly of the beast. I have suffered, and I'm not going to talk about it too much today. the repercussions of asking certain questions about my own workplace, which is I'm entitled to do as a citizen, as a sovereign human being, as an academic, as an American. I'm entitled to do that, and I will exercise those rights to the best of my ability. But it takes research such as this, mm-hmm. cutting-edge research such as this, that will provide us the intellectual, the historical, the analytical framework to understand what we are facing. Because so far, these people have been very good in veiling the truth and hiding it, because mm-hmm. the Rockefellers own the University of Chicago. The Russell Trust runs Yale University. Mm-hmm. All these bloodlines control information, scholarship, and every single aspect, and sciences, of course, almost every single aspect of our lives that shape our world.
It traces back to the Jesuits. It traces back to Mesopotamia, to the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which were magic cult instruction books. Mm-hmm. And they recommended pedophilia in children, but they had to be under 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's in the Kabbalah and the Talmud. And properly practicing Jews, I'm not including them, mm-hmm. They follow the Torah. Mm-hmm. The Talmud and the Kabbalah are satanic.
The Babylonian
cults.
Talmud, is
yes.
that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are satanic cults.
The vast majority of people have no idea about the esoteric origins of the old religions, of which all major faiths stem from. Traditions that predate all world religions, even if most modern religious leaders themselves are unaware of this fact. This occult information is not central to rabbinical literature and largely irrelevant to most followers of the Torah, Bible, or Koran, and is part of the oral tradition, which is revered by secret societies and is attributed to Moses, but actually predates him as well. That said, the Hebrew language itself, which stems from Phoenician, as do many other languages, correlates to an ancient magical system where letters are assigned a numeric value, a crucial part of Kabbalah, and more specifically, gematria, or numerology, which was practiced in all ancient empires from Assyria, Babylon, Greece, Egypt, and even earlier, as the Phoenician alphabet itself is linked to the runes. And while there's still an academic debate as to which came first, which I'll address in a future video, for now my point is merely that most people are totally unaware of the esoteric mysticism at the core of all religions, an example of which can be seen in this footage of an arrest made by Turkish police confiscating rare ancient gold-plated Torahs, artifacts which include symbolism that many people consider satanic, and whose origins and purpose is still largely unknown or misunderstood by the general public until today.
And are those satanic cults controlled, or were they created by these ancient Iranian bloodlines?
Yes, they were.
Please
they were,
expand.
For instance, the Aldo Brandinis. Aldo Brandini is one of the ancient Iranian bloodlines. It's a famous Italian family. Mm-hmm. And Al-Dob, Al is the, Dob is devil. Hmm. Dini.
The people of the devil.
Yeah, the people of the devil.
Wow.
So they're definitely satanic. They're proud of it. They're open about it. We have a website, lorenmurray.info, and we have a Rothschild ball with photographs of the Rothschilds and their guests and members of their family doing satanic practices.
This is the masked ball photos?
The masked ball.
And by the way, they're called Venetian masks, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Right.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we can see the cultural and the historical continuities, ladies and gentlemen.
And the Venetians were Iranians.
Well, yeah, you alluded to that. That's why I interjected that, because I'm interested in masking
But the Middle East, these Mesopotamians, all of Eurasia, we know now from DNA studies done over the last 5 years, especially by Russia, okay. All of Eurasia was settled by Central Asians.
Please talk a little bit about the DNA studies. And I assume that these studies are coming out of the Human Genome Project, right?
No, they wouldn't be coming out of the Human Genome Project, which is American. They're coming out of Russian scientific research.
All right. Because this DNA, from our conversations, this DNA research provides the scientific backing that helps support this hypothesis or this theory in the making. It's irrefutable. It's ironclad. And I think this is probably the most important development in this type of research. It's hard science. It's not fantasy. It's supported by definitive DNA analysis, and you can trace the distribution of these different peoples, these different tribal groups, and how their culture and their religious practices migrated across the world, and how they have been transmitted to us down here to 2016 are embodied in people like Linda P.B. Katehi.
Right.
Please.
And so these ancient Iranian tribes moved into Europe and the Middle East. So the Basques are ancient Iranian bloodlines.
Is there a DNA report?
From the DNA.
Okay.
Yes. The Berbers in North Africa in the Altai Mountains, the Basques, the Berbers, and the Kurds all came from the Hittites.
And there's DNA research on that.
Yes, this is from DNA research and also language similarities.
All right.
And
so it's a multidisciplinary effort.
And blood types.
But the thing is,
she's correct in saying that there are genetic affinities between the Basque that live in the Pyrenees Mountains between France and Spain and the Berber Caucasian natives of North Africa, which is a derogatory term for the Amazigh, similar to barbarian, which, like the Berbers, comes from the root barba, meaning bearded, a cultural attribute that I already explained in several other videos. That said, the Basque language and the Amazigh or Berber language are not Indo-European or Aryan. And while she's correct that the Aryans invaded or migrated into Europe and North Africa, they mixed with existing populations that have been there since the Pleistocene, or Ice Age, for at least 30,000 years, as these two populations are direct descendants of Cro-Magnon, as are the now extinct Guanches, the native tribe of the Canary Islands, who were tall, Caucasian, and also left red-headed mummies. The Guanches were still living in the Stone Age when discovered by the Europeans, as there's no metal on the Canary Islands, and they did not use boats, as they were afraid of the water, and had a unique language. My point is that it's an oversimplification to attribute these Rh-negative dense populations exclusively to Holocene Aryans. For more on this, I've included a link in the description to a video I did which covers and explains this further. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon. My books make a great gift. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description section for those who are interested. I appreciate it. Thank you. Please leave a comment below. Please have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.